where most of the population still lives.
Less stigma in the urban area, but more stigma in the rural area where the people are not well informed. Behavior change is a whole process. It's coming from the towns where they have more information and going through the rural area. And our HIV/AIDS campaign should target stigma.
Back in Rwanda's capital, Kigali, the money is beginning to pour in from donors for medicines for the hundreds of thousands of people living with HIV/AIDS. Yet, without changing society's behaviour towards those infected, the situation will remain dire. Despite the assurances of the National AIDS Commission, those with the disease still face discrimination at work from neighbours, friends and family. Jeanne Enzegimana is the coordinator of Rwanda's National Network of Associations for People Living with HIV/AIDS.
The main challenges, first of all, is stigma. Even though we could get some donors to help us, without this breaking of stigma and discrimination, I think that we didn't reach any goal. Everyone is afraid to come out and talk about it because in their working place, they may get problem, lose their jobs. In Rwanda, we don't accept yet seropositivity status.
For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Rupert Cook in Kigali, Rwanda.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
And this is radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, New York, where it's exactly 6 o'clock. All right, turn this damn thing off. Boy. It's time for Off the Wall. You know, somebody left a memo saying that the CD players were fixed. Boy, it's April Fool's Day around here. It's not only is it not fixed, but it's broken in ways I've never seen it broken before. Right? My finger just went through the button when I hit the play button. Maybe you're not supposed to hit the play button. Maybe you're supposed to unhit the pause button. Let's try that. No, that's not it. All right, fine. Maybe you're supposed to eject it and put it into the other CD player and fill the time so that people in the audience don't know what's going on, because radio, you can't see what's going on. That's the beauty of it. And you hit the pause button there, and then you hit the play button, and seamlessly, the theme comes up. Well, no matter how badly things are getting screwed up around here, it's nothing compared to the destruction going on in the Bush administration. Oh, boy. Oh, man. This is fun. This is really fun seeing it all unravel in front of everybody. Did you watch the debates last week? Or the debate last week on Thursday night? Boy, that was something, wasn't it? That was something. I had to actually call people and say, am I imagining this? Is Kerry really wiping the floor with Bush as badly as it seems, or as well as it seems? It wasn't a fantasy. It really happened. And I only wish I was in a crowd of people at the time. I didn't know it was going to be that good, you know. Of course, you know, it could have been better. It could have been actually a debate, you know, a debate where you talk to somebody directly and they say no, but you're wrong. They address each other. Last week we read some of the many rules in the 32-page memorandum that was handed out. Candidates may not ask each other questions. They may not directly address each other. All kinds of things. I don't know at whose behest these rules were written. Who are they protecting exactly? But anything but a real debate, apparently, was what was required here. That's how it came off. But unfortunately for them, issues were discussed anyway, and some real conclusions, I think, were reached by the people watching. I'd like people's opinions. In fact, for this program, I'd like to take more phone calls than we usually do, only because we don't take enough phone calls most of the time. So let me just say, for the record, the phone number here, if you're listening live, which is Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the phone number, 631-632-9872. That spells out WUSB, by the way, which is the radio station where we are right now. Yeah, so, you know, those debates, or that debate really, and you know, I'm going to put that word in quotes because that's what they call it. I don't know what else you can call it. Exchange. No, it wasn't even an exchange. It was sort of like a double press conference or something. I don't really know what it was. I wish there was a debate of some sort going on this year, but there are none. Even the town hall meeting thing is not really a town hall meeting thing. But it's the best we have. It's the only chance we're going to get to see Bush in any way face a challenge. And when he faced the challenge last week, he just basically crashed and burned. I mean, the facts just are not on his side with this whole Iraq thing. You know, going in there, searching for weapons of mass destruction, keeping somebody from destroying the United States, all based on lies, all based on things that were not there. And for some reason, this guy always gets a free pass. The media always gives him an out. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had the whole memo thing with his National Guard service. And, of course, Dan Rather or CBS or whoever was in charge over there didn't do their homework and didn't realize that the memos were fake. In fact, the guy who gave it to them even said, well, yeah, they're fake. After they asked him, are these fake? And, yeah, he admitted it after some more questioning, saying that, well, you know, you were so intent on getting the story that I felt I had to produce something. What a buffoon. But regardless, everybody dropped the question, but is the conclusion based that was reached in these fake memos, is there anything to that still? Nobody's talking about it anymore. Nobody's talking about Bush's supposed National Guard appearances, which nobody can seem to remember. And, you know, this came up 4 years ago, too. We were talking about this 4 years ago. And then it was dropped. When he was president, nobody continued to look into it. There was that whole drunk driving thing. Do you remember that? A drunk driving incident involving George W. Bush that was covered up. And somebody found evidence of it. And rather than pursue that, they said, how dare you find evidence of this? Go into somebody's personal records. And it's just they never actually pursue the guy. They let him off. Now, here we have a situation where he's gone into a foreign country, invaded a foreign country that was no threat to us. In fact, I would say Iraq was less of a threat before they were invaded than they are now, because most of the country was being subdued. I think 2/3 of it was a no-fly zone. So now everybody, it's every man for himself, you know, car bombs everywhere, beheadings, you name it, it's a free-for-all. And something on the order of 1,100 U.S. lives have been lost, U.S. military lives have been lost. All kinds of other so-called coalition lives have been lost as well. And that doesn't even begin to count the Iraqi lives that have been lost. Approaching 20,000 last I heard. You don't let somebody off for that. You know, you just don't. So anyway, after seeing that that display on Thursday night. Well, what do you know? The tide has started to turn. This lead that I could never understand how George W. Bush got it in the first place, this lead started to evaporate. It started to disappear. And people started to say, well, you know, maybe this guy really doesn't have it together. And I think a lot of the reason for that is the forbidden cutaway shot that we were treated to. That was one of the things that the agreement said we could not have, was a reaction shot of the other candidate while the first one was speaking. This is so, you know, Pravda. It really is. You know, you can only see the person talking. You can't see how the other person is reacting to them. Fortunately, the networks had a little bit of bravery here, and they stood up to that, and they said, no, we're going to show the other party how they react, because that's part of the whole thing. And so you saw George W. Bush reacting to John Kerry, and he just looked so uncomfortable. He looked like somebody who shows up for a final exam and hasn't studied. I know that look. Whereas Kerry, on the other hand, looked confident the whole time, even cocky at points. So I think that changed perceptions of a lot of people. A lot of people are out there saying, you know, the challenger looks a lot more presidential than the incumbent. And the points he's making actually seem to make a little bit of sense. Wow. So that's why I had to call people and say, am I dreaming? Because this is what I was hoping would happen. I was hoping to see George W. Bush humiliated, because he's due. He's been getting a free ride for too long. It got to the point where I was feeling sorry for the guy. You know, I don't like to see people suffer. I really don't. And you know, George W. Bush is probably an okay guy. You know, if you're hanging out at a bar someplace, I'm sure you can get into interesting conversations with him. He probably even has a sense of humor. But President of the United States of America, sorry, I don't see it. After 4 years, I still don't see it. And God help us if we willingly elect this buffoon to a second term. I mean, you know, the majority of Americans did not elect this guy. No matter what you say about the whole crazy, screwed-up system we have here with the Electoral College and carrying states and things like that, you notice how the challenges to that sort of disappeared, too. Well, no matter what you say about that, you can't get away from the fact that he did not win the majority vote. You know? And for some reason, that's okay. For some reason, that's acceptable. Like I said, God help us if we elect this guy with a majority vote. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine if it happens again the same way, where he doesn't carry the majority but wins the election? I mean, I don't think you'll ever have a better setup for civil war in this country than we'll have in a long, long time. But another thing, regardless, if he wins with the majority vote or without the majority vote, can you imagine what Inauguration Day 2005 is going to be like in Washington, D.C.? Oh, my God. Okay, that phone number again, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Let's take a look at the news, see what's happening in the world around us. Iraq is expected to be among the issues Vice President Dick Cheney and John Edwards will debate tonight. That's right, there's a debate tonight, a quote-unquote debate tonight, between the vice presidential candidates. Both President Bush and rival John Kerry say they'll watch the event on TV. Gosh, I wonder what network they watch. You know, how do they choose? It's going to be on every single channel, right? You know what's also ironic about this whole thing is that the media people themselves were the ones who got less of it than the American audiences, no matter what network they were watching. I think just about all the networks showed the cutaways. But the media people who showed up at the event themselves, they were sitting in a room, and they had just the feed from the debate that the official debate committee, with all their rules, was showing. And they didn't get to see the cutaways. They only got to see the candidates' faces. while they were speaking. So the American audience, I guess the world audience, was able to see more than the people who were there to cover it. And the thing that really kind of annoyed me was when it was over. When it was over, I expected to see the commentator saying, oh my God, did you see that? Oh, that was that was worse than Nixon sweating. That was unbelievable. Oh, poor George W. Bush. Kerry must be so happy. No, instead they were like, well, you know, you could say that George W. Bush did well. You could say that Kerry did well. The polls aren't in yet, but we'll see how this plays out. You know, they were just trying to be so fair. You know, they weren't doing any analysis whatsoever. They were just waiting to see how it played on the outside before they actually said, yeah, it's obvious that that was the case. It's obvious that George W. Bush lost the debate. They didn't say that. It took them so long to say that. And I question if that was really any kind of analysis. Do we have a phone call? Good evening, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Emmanuel.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
I'm on my way home from work, and I had something interesting, not really what you're talking about at the moment.
You're driving? You're driving on a cell phone?
Yes.
All right, be careful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not, I have a hands-free and everything.
Okay, you're legal then.
Anyway,
go ahead.
I was calling about a little bit of Bush family history that I don't think is known to the general public.
You know, all the Bush family history is just depressing. Whether it goes all the way back to their leader, you know, and his Nazi past, or, you know, his brother with corruption, or his daughters with drinking, you know, it's all bad.
Yeah, it is, really. But I didn't think, I guess you said the Nazi past, that's what I was calling about.
Ah, okay, well, go ahead, tell us.
About his grandfather, there's a book called You're Being Lied To, and it's like a compilation of, like, investigative articles.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them had to do with this, that he was, his grandfather was involved with doing business with the Nazis during World War II, while the war was going on still. And he actually had his company shut down, you know, closed down to the trading with the enemy.
Yeah, you know, I heard about that, and somehow it was just sort of swept under the rug, wasn't it?
I don't know. I never heard anybody talking about it, really, like that they really directly had did business with the Nazis during the war, and you'd mm-hmm. think it would be a bigger thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, Ford and all those guys, where were their sympathies? You could definitely ask that question. But there was a lot of money that George's grandfather made that was able to fund both his son and his grandson's election careers or political
right.
careers. You know, these things are just icing on the cake. I mean, I like to look at what's going on today. I like to look at the actual performance of somebody in office and not look so much at their background, what their grandfather or great-grandfather was doing. But this is just something that when you add it on top of what we have today, it's just it becomes really hard to believe.
Yeah, he's kind of dug himself in enough of a hole that I don't think you have to go too far to find things wrong.
Yeah, I mean, his grandfather could have been Winston Churchill. I don't think it would have made a difference at this point, you know? The guy is just like, it's a disaster. It really is. What's happening around? I just don't understand how anybody can look around us today and say, yeah, we're on course. We're on course to what?
Yeah.
You know,
Armageddon. I actually work in a military company, even though I'm anti-war and everything, but I actually hear people who are really still for him and they think he's doing a good job. And I'd like to know what drew them to that conclusion, you know?
Did you see the debate on Thursday?
I didn't. I just saw bits of it. I didn't see the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
But you know, I read the next day, and I got the gist of how it went.
You gonna watch tonight?
Tonight I'm gonna watch. Yeah, and I think isn't there another one tomorrow?
There's another one on Friday. Another one. This is the only one with the vice presidential candidates tonight.
Yeah.
And then Friday. So
the next one should be good. The next presidential debate, because I think they're going to deal with domestic issues. So
mm-hmm.
I don't see how he could defend anything that he's done domestically. Really.
He doesn't really have any strong points.
Yeah, so I'd like to see how he's going to try to defend himself on that.
Yeah, well, you know, I just hope Kerry can keep his cool and, you know, not say anything stupid. I'm sure, you know, he will at some point, but hopefully it won't be a major
yeah,
disaster.
Yeah, he can keep his cool and just, you know, out-talk him, which shouldn't be too hard.
No, it really isn't. I mean, I was looking at that debate on Thursday and realizing that I could be up there doing a better job than Bush. You know, most people I know would be up there doing a better job than Bush both presenting themselves and citing facts and things like that. And, you know, that shouldn't be. The president should be orders of magnitude above an average person like myself, you know, and be able to say all kinds of things and spout all kinds of facts and know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't think it should be that difficult. I think, like, anyone who can do a household budget and, you know, can, like, think reasonably should be able to make decisions, you know.
Well, I can't do that either, but, you know, I'm able to at least lie a little better.
At least a little bit capable of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important part of being a president is knowing how to lie. It really is.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't have to be.
All right, listen, thanks for your call, and get home safe.
Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right.
Beyond.
And
bye.
Hopefully he really will watch the debate tonight, not the Yankee game. Look, let me just say for the record, all right, and this goes out to all the people who listen around the world, and I'm sorry for the people that are listening locally, and please, you know, there's no point chasing me around the parking lot, all right? There's just no point in doing that, because I'll get away like I always do, all right? We all want the Yankees to lose. We're sick of them. We are so totally sick of this team. We wish they'd lose, move, go out of business, whatever. I mean, ever since 1923, whatever year they started, they've been winning the World Series every year without stopping. Enough already. Enough. Come on. I mean, you know, it takes a lot to turn somebody into a Red Sox fan who lives in New York. But seeing how every year these guys up in the Bronx buy themselves a pennant, and they do. It's not like George Steinbrenner goes out and says, hey, guys, let's get a team together. Let's find some people who live in the Bronx and come together and make a baseball team and kick people's asses who live in other states. No, that's not how baseball works. You buy players, and people with the most money can buy the most players. George Steinbrenner has the most money. Therefore, he buys a pennant every year. That's how it works. It's business. It's not a sport. And so you got the Red Sox, right, who have lost the World Series year after year, you know, the curse of Babe Ruth and all that, going way back into the beginning of the last century. And there's something about them that you just really want them to win, because they never do. they always have this catastrophe and lose the last minute. And when they do win, though, they win by these huge scores, you know. They lose 4 out of 5 games, but the fifth game they win 23-0. Or anyway, at some point they're going to probably meet the Yankees again like they did last year, and I'll be rooting for them. Unless the Yankees lose, you know, unless they lose to Minnesota. Minnesota, the team that almost was sent away into the void because they weren't making enough money. Remember this? A couple of years ago, they were going to fold two teams, Montreal and Minnesota. And all of a sudden, Minnesota started playing really well. And and that talk went away. However, Montreal, they played their last game last week. Last game in Montreal. They played their last game on Sunday against the Mets. And now they're moving to Washington, D.C. Can you believe that? Maybe the Washington Senators will exist for the third time. Why am I talking about sports? I don't know. But I just wanted to say that, you know, we're not all blindly, blind allegiance. We don't have that here to the New York Yankees. We're ashamed of them. We're embarrassed. It's like, what is it like? I guess it's a microcosm for American colonialism. Yeah, no, it's true. You know, where you just go out and you take over the world, you know, and you're number one. America's number one. Everywhere we go, we're number one. We win at everything. Can't lose. Can't lose at all. America, right or wrong. Well, that's what the Yankees do to baseball, okay? Dominate. Intimidate. And all kinds of other things. So, those scrappy Red Sox, or God forbid the Mets, or somebody like that, is going to come along one day and teach them a lesson. And that'll be the end of that. No, I know it's never going to happen. The Yankees are going to keep winning until year 3000. But one can hope. Anyway, don't watch the Yankee game tonight. It's boring. They're just probably going to win again. Watch the debate. Watch Edwards and Cheney. It's going to be one of these debates where they both sit at a table. All right. I don't know who comes up with these things. It's not really a debate. They're not allowed to address each other or ask questions. Although, you know, either one of them, if they had the guts, they could. You know, they could just say, screw this. We are doing it our way, or I'm doing it my way. and you know, you can, my opponent can do it whatever way he wants to do. They're the ones that are actually in charge. What are they going to do? Cut the camera? So anyway, it's going to be a sort of a table discussion. I'm a little worried about that because Edwards sort of likes to gesticulate. I don't know if you've noticed this, but when Edwards speaks, he's kind of animated, whereas Cheney just sort of scares people. He just kind of has that sort of sneerish look on his face. And I think when he's sitting at a table, though, he can be kind of, you know, grandfatherly, and he might even appear to be nicer. You know, Edwards rather might be a little jumpy, and that might not play well at a table, whereas Cheney will seem calm. So that's what I'm worried. I hope Cheney takes a swing at him. I really do. You know, that guy scares me. That guy seems like a loose cannon, someone who really could blow his top at any point. So hopefully Edwards knows how to press his buttons. And he presses a few tonight. That's my prediction. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. Thank you for having this conversation. I wanted to say two things. First of all, I wonder what would happen if Cheney uses the F word tonight.
Well, they're probably on delay. CBS, I'm sure, is so scared of anything that they're just completely on delay.
I wonder if the FCC would dare to fine them.
They'd have to fine every single TV station in the country then.
For the gentleman who just phoned before, mm-hmm. and for anybody else, there is no excuse for not watching this firsthand, because that is really how you see the detail and the nuance. It was astounding to me, every single news media that I watched afterwards, and I turned immediately to the ones that I disagree with so I can see how they were spinning it. Every single one of them was sitting there putting their own spin on it and their own opinions. So the only way you're really going to know is to watch it yourself, and you can watch replays on the Internet. Mm-hmm. You could still watch them on the Internet. I mean, we did a rewatch last night because we had to compare it to the Saturday Night Live.
Right.
You watched on Saturday. But
yes, that was good. That was good.
Yeah. So anyway, no excuse for anybody not watching it. If you can't make it tonight or if for some reason the Yankees are more important, you can replay it later.
What's your network of choice?
You know, I really listen to so many different ones. I've been listening to Air America a lot. I watched it online at MSNBC because I think I'm one of the only people in America that doesn't have a television.
Oh, no, you're not. A lot of people don't have televisions. That's for sure. But it's good that you have a way of seeing it anyway when it comes on.
Yeah, well, you could have listened to it on the radio, but I was also able to stream it through, I think it was MSNBC.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing you really sort of have to see to believe, you know, as far as watching Bush's facial reactions or seeing what Cheney is going to do. Or Edwards or Kerry, you know, having it in front of you on a computer or a TV set, I think beats the radio in this case.
You know, it does. It does. So anyway, that's really my message is no one has any excuse for not seeing for themselves and making their own decision. There's no way you can listen to somebody else's interpretation, much less somebody else's opinionated interpretation.
Yeah, you don't need them to tell you what they just said. Look at it yourself, interpret what they're, because they're speaking to you, you know, and if what they're saying is nonsense, then you'll know it's nonsense.
That's exactly.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call.
Very much for having this forum.
Thank you. Take care. And you can join the forum by dialing 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Continuing with our look at the news, which is a very long look at this point, the White House has been forced to defend its Iraq policy after comments by the former U.S. Administrator for Iraq, Paul Bremer, told an insurance group in West Virginia the U.S. paid a big price for the insufficient troop levels in Iraq. Well, that's interesting. So there's going to be a push for more soldiers being sent over there. And, of course, that's going to lead to a question as to how are we going to fill that void. There was a great article in the New York Times a couple of days ago. The draft card, the option nobody's pushing yet. Well, nobody's going to push it now, I'll tell you that. Most definitely, during an election, nobody is going to even say that word. All right, but you better believe after this election, and this is probably the case regardless of who gets elected, short of an immediate withdrawal from Iraq, which I don't think either side is going to be pushing, you're going to have to start sending more people in somehow. You know, you're going to have to start replenishing. There's no other word for it. We're losing a lot of people. Not only are we losing people to death, we're losing people to injury. Listen to this statistic, all right? This is from the New York Times. You might not have heard this in the mainstream media. The New York Times, of course, is mainstream media, but the point is you see something mentioned in the mainstream media and it sort of gets forgotten. I don't think people should forget this. More than one-third of nearly 3,900 former soldiers mobilized under a special wartime program have resisted their call-ups. Yeah, 3,900 former soldiers have been mobilized under a special wartime program. That's now. We're under a special wartime program at this moment. And of those 3,900, more than a third of them are saying no. Wow. I mean, that's big. Okay? That tells you something about the mood of the people. The Army National Guard fell nearly 10% short of its 2004 recruiting goal. The Army is easing standards on recruiting because they're losing people as well. And meanwhile, they want more troops over there. They want to send more people. They want to expand the military. So what do you think they're going to have to do at some point? Imagine this, all right? Imagine this. And this is something no one is really saying, and I think they should be saying this. We are stretched to the limit. We being the United States. Yes, I know I'm not part of the military, but it's my country, so unfortunately it does represent me. So we are stretched to the limit in Iraq. That's where all of our troops are at the moment. Now, what if something happens someplace else? You know, what if there's another Grenada or something? Or God forbid, something more serious. It could happen. It has happened, and it probably will happen. Well, where are those soldiers going to come from? You know, how are we going to possibly mobilize at a moment's notice when all of our forces are over in another country and very busy? Well, you're going to have to start forcing people to serve. Yeah, it sort of makes a little more sense now, doesn't it? And it also kind of shows you how George W. Bush has gotten another free pass. He's actually made this country less secure by putting everybody over in a country where they have no business being and leaving us wide open. This is why countries like North Korea are able to operate with impunity, knowing that the United States really isn't going to do anything. Not that North Korea necessarily is doing something bad. We don't know what they're doing. But the point is, and I think you really can't debate this, if you had to put them next to each other, North Korea, Iraq, who is the potential bigger threat? Well, it's not Iraq. It wasn't Iraq for a very long time. So you have to really look at this situation and realize that we're not prepared anymore. Yeah, we were prepared before when everybody was waiting for a crisis. But the problem is when you manufacture the crisis, you're not prepared when the real one comes. Let's just hope it doesn't come. But if it does, you have to ask, where are the bodies going to come from? So yeah, it's a pretty good article. I suggest people read it concerning the possibilities of the draft coming back. Just months ago, Pentagon officials suggested that a new draft could be avoided if recruitment and retention numbers stayed high. But as fighting in Iraq escalates, signs are growing that those numbers may not be adequate in the coming years. And, of course, we had a draft back during World War I, the Civil War, I believe. And World War II. In fact, there was a draft from 1940 to 1973. And nobody complained during World War II. All right, I could sort of see that. Not many complaints during the Korean War either. Don't quite understand that. But Vietnam, oh, that was a different matter altogether. And the draft came to an end in 1973. So, are we at the stage where it's going to be re-implemented? And if so, that affects a lot of us, affects a lot of our listeners, a lot of our young people who really have no real great desire to run over to a desert someplace and die in a meaningless conflict. All right, continuing with the news here. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz has told Polish soldiers in Warsaw today that Saddam Hussein's brutality is equal to the atrocities committed under the Nazi and Stalinist regimes. And Poland, in response, said it wants to withdraw its troops from Iraq. Okay, not, it wasn't in response, but they did say that. They did say, no, we're getting out of here. Enough of this. And it's funny because that was said after George W. Bush made his famous "You Forgot Poland" statement during the debate last week. That's where Kerry rightfully was talking about how this coalition of the willing really isn't much of a coalition at all. And yeah, I know, we got the Marshall Islands. What? Who else? Costa Rica. You know, all these countries that are, you know, kind of tiny. Actually, I'm not sure about Costa Rica, but the point is, we have islands. Islands sending... I think we have Iceland. Is that true? We have Iceland? Did you even know Iceland had an army? Or was it Greenland? I don't know. The point is, we don't have a whole lot of big armies over there. It's not much of a coalition. It's not like the Gulf War, the original Gulf War. This is a very weak sequel, and they should cancel it. So, yeah, Bush made the reference to Poland as if that was a major deal. I think they only have about 1,000, 2,000 people over there. But they want out. They want out. Spain already got out. He didn't mention them. This coalition of the willing is really just us and England. And you better believe, after the elections next year, it would be a miracle if Tony Blair survived. And assuming he does not, you can count on England leaving this this mess as well. Leaving just the United States to pick up the pieces. Now, in addition to all this, you have people in the administration making what are somewhat bizarre quotes. Like Donald Rumsfeld last night. Did you hear about this? This is really interesting. And the funny thing is, it wasn't reported in the domestic news media as much as it was reported in the international news media. It was the main headline in all the foreign media I was looking at, and I had to really search for it here. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld appeared Monday to back off earlier statements suggesting Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein had links to al-Qaeda. He also conceded that U.S. intelligence was wrong in its conclusions that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Why the intelligence proved wrong, I'm not in a position to say. I simply don't know. He said this in remarks to the Council on Foreign Relations in New York. When asked about any connection between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, Rumsfeld said, "To my knowledge, I have not seen any strong, hard evidence that links the two." Now, President Bush repeated his administration's claim that Iraq was in league with al-Qaeda under Saddam Hussein's rule, saying on Tuesday that fugitive Islamic militant Abu Musab al-Zarqawi ties Saddam to the terrorist network. It's the exact opposite. These two guys are conflicting with each other. How is this possible? How is it possible for members of the same administration to be saying 180-degree different things? But yet, that is what they are saying. Bush continues to say Saddam Hussein had links to al-Qaeda. Donald Rumsfeld says, no, they don't. And that's where we stand. And Cheney is also repeating what Bush is saying, that Saddam Hussein was somehow tied to al-Qaeda, when all the evidence suggests otherwise. And when that's brought to their attention, of course, the old party line of, well, we're better off without him. He was a nasty guy, you know? Not the point. There are a lot of nasty guys out there, you know? And the question now is, are we really better off? I don't really think so. We've lost a hell of a lot of people. The country is in chaos. People are dying by the busload over there. That's not saying Saddam Hussein was a nice guy. It's just saying that maybe this wasn't a good idea after all. Maybe this wasn't the way to go about this. All right. And then we have this story from the BBC. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Please let us know what you think of the debates of the status of our leadership in general, or anything else that might be on your mind as well. Voting arrangements in Florida do not meet basic international requirements and could undermine the U.S. election. That, according to former U.S. President Jimmy Carter. He said a repeat of the irregularities of the much-disputed 2000 election, which gave President George W. Bush the narrowest of wins, quote, seems likely, unquote. Oh, boy. It's like an election in a third-world country, isn't it? Now, Mr. Carter is a veteran observer of polls worldwide. He's not just shooting from the hip here. He also accused Florida's top election official of bias. This comes from an article, actually, in the Washington Post. Mr. Carter said that he and ex-president Gerald Ford have been asked to draw up recommendations for changes after the last vote in Florida was marred by arguments over the counting of ballots. Carter said the reforms they came up with had still not been implemented. He accused Florida Secretary of State Glenda Hood, who was a Republican, by the way, of trying to get the name of independent presidential candidate Ralph Nader included on the state ballot, knowing he might divert Democrat votes. He also said a fumbling attempt has been made recently to disqualify 22,000 African Americans, likely Democrats, but only 61 Hispanics, likely Republicans, as alleged felons. Well, gosh, does that seem likely that there'd be 22,000 African-American felons, but only 61 Hispanic felons in an area? I mean, are we that racially divided that that's how things are? Carter said Florida Governor Jeb Bush, who happens to be the brother of the president, had taken no steps to correct these departures from principles of fair and equal treatment or to prevent them in the future. It is unconscionable to perpetuate fraudulent or biased electoral practices in any nation, he added. With reforms unlikely at this late stage of the election, perhaps the only recourse will be to focus maximum public scrutiny on the suspicious process in Florida. Oh, man! That's from Jimmy Carter on the fairness of the election in Florida. Boy, you gotta wonder. You gotta wonder when that's how it's being seen in the rest of the world. It's funny, though. You didn't see those comments bandied about the media that much, did you? Okay, let's see what else is happening. I'm getting through this newscast really, really slowly. I'm wondering where all the people are. You know, around the world, people are talking about this. There's no reason we should be shy here. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. That's our phone number. What do you think? And I have no problem with people calling who disagree with everything that I am saying. No problem at all. In fact, I welcome them. Let's see. I'm sorry if I seem to be hesitant here. It's because our ink is so light that I have to really strain to see this. Chiron, the company counted on for half the country's flu shots, says it won't ship any doses after British health officials suspended the license at its plant. It has officials in this country urging healthy adults to delay getting inoculated so that at-risk patients can. Didn't we go through this last year, too? Not enough flu shots. Wow. All right, we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, this is probably a really ignorant question. What radio stations cover the debates?
That is a good question. I think you can hear it on NPR.
You can?
I'm pretty sure. I think it's up to the local station, but I was listening to it driving around before I got to the TV set, and they were covering it at the local NPR station here.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, I'll tune into that. One of those people that do not have public television, any television.
Any television. Well, did you hear the debate, at least?
No, I didn't, and I was very sorry that I did, and I hear you talking about this. I was just listening to the radio. I said, let me at least listen to this one.
Yeah.
And I don't know what radio station to listen to hear it.
Yeah. Well, even if they're not covering it, I'm sure there's an AM station somewhere that's covering it, but I'm pretty sure the FM NPR stations have this on.
I listen to NPR all the time.
All right, great.
Okay, thanks so much.
No problem.
Loving your show.
All right.
Okay, bye.
I just drove somebody to another radio station. Oh, well. Yeah, we won't be covering it here in that sense. But, you know, that's only because you can get it someplace else. Good evening, you're on the air.
It's me again.
Hi,
I wanted to tell you that Air America AM 1190 is also covering the debate live.
That's true. You know, in fact, I drove into the city after listening to the debate or after watching the debate, and I was listening to Air America, but then I also tuned to the conservative radio stations, WABC and WOR, and they also were, they might have had liberals on at that time or something, but they were slamming Bush. They were ridiculing him. So it was I couldn't find anybody supporting Bush.
Fox News.
But there is no Fox News radio station.
Well, you know, I have Sirius satellite radio, so I get Fox Radio on that. Fox News on the radio.
Fox News on the radio. Is that just a rebroadcast of the TV?
Yes.
Oh, that must play well.
You know what? A lot of them have it, and there must be part of like a new delivery protocol that they use, because it really does play pretty well, and all of them are like that. On the Sirius, you can get E and all different kinds.
You can also get BBC, can't you?
Yes, so that's that. You get BBC World News, BBC Mundo, amazing.
Wow.
You still have to go to the internet to get the Al Jazeera, because they I haven't found that yet.
Well,
but,
is there?
You get Radio Australia.
I don't think there's an Al Jazeera English feed, though, is there?
No.
Yeah, there's an English web page. If you go to english.aljazeera.net, you can see their perspective that way. But they keep saying they're going to have an English channel, but they never actually do it.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine that, you know. It's something that they've got a huge audience clamoring to see.
Yeah.
Just a couple of us.
Okay. Well, thanks for the info.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. We have a few minutes left. If anybody has any comments they'd like to throw our way, this is your chance. Yes, your chance to be heard, to have your opinions, questions, whatever, out there. All right, let's take this one, and then we'll read a couple more stories. Good evening, you're on.
Hey, Josie, how you doing?
How you doing?
You know, you got to stop picking on the Yankees. I mean, every team that can have money that they get in this market would buy as many places as they could.
Yeah, but they don't have the money. That's the thing. The Yankees have it's like a rich person. The rich people always get the money. The poor people never get the money.
Right, you know, blame it on the cable guys. They give them the money. They pay these exorbitant, you know, licensing fees for the Yankees, and what should they do? They don't want to go invest in it.
It's a vicious cycle, but somehow we have to take the money away from the Yankees and distribute it fairly amongst all the other teams. Baseball is a socialist type of a system, you know? Everybody, to each according to their needs.
Business. It's a business. And, you know, if you can make a profit, then they go for it. You know, I mean, but the other thing I wanted to mention, C-SPAN, too, had some excellent coverage of Saturday's rally in Washington. And I think Newsday is finally catching on. There's a lot of stories,
right?
A couple of pages about the, you know, a lot of the people who are dying there, and as opposed to you know, John Gotti on the cover.
Yeah, you know, C-SPAN actually is the best source for unbiased looks at these things, because they don't go around explaining what it is you're seeing. They just show you, and you figure it out yourself. They had a lot of coverage of the RNC protest in New York City, and it's just the debate, I believe, too. I didn't watch the debate there, but I think that was the only channel where you got to see Jim Lehrer warning the audience what not to do at great length. He went on for about 10 minutes telling them, do not do this, do not do that, don't applaud, don't show any kind of emotion whatsoever. You have to wonder, why was there even an audience? What did the audience, what purpose did they serve?
They brought to it. I guess, you know, they paid money to go see it, so that's how they brought it.
I don't think they paid money. I don't think they paid. That would be kind of a scam if they did that. But what is the audience should be there for a reaction. Imagine a studio audience, all right? You've got, like, what's a popular TV show these days?
Everybody loves E!
How about Moesha or something like that? Still on? I don't know. One of these programs with a studio audience. And imagine if, no, don't laugh, don't applaud, don't make any noise, just sit there and watch. What's the point?
You know? I mean,
I think that's what we need. We need to have an audience there so that both candidates can play to the audience, or can take questions, God forbid, from the audience that were not screened and approved.
Is the town hall type debate, is that going to have pre-screened?
They're going to have, yeah, the questions have to be submitted in advance and approved. And when you read your question, you have to read that question, and if you deviate in any way, you will be dealt with. So nobody's going to do that. Yeah, we'll see.
One of these weeks, you got to give us a show on hackers.
One day. Well, there's another show on hackers that maybe you can tune into on the other station. All right, thanks for your call. And let's take this one. Good evening, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to go back a few minutes from something you talked about a few minutes ago about the Army divisions.
Okay.
I read somewhere back, I think it was in Newsday last week, and maybe even in the Times, that 8 out of the 10 Army divisions are either going to Iraq, coming from Iraq, or in Iraq and Afghanistan. So that really leaves us shorthanded for anything else that happens in the world.
There's first of all, I don't know how it's all set up. There's 10 Army divisions?
That's the way I understood it,
uh-huh.
That there's 10 Army divisions. I don't know how many people are in the division, how many soldiers in the division, but 8 out of 10 are occupied, going to, coming from, or already serving in Iraq and Afghanistan.
So that's basically 4/5 of our Army military is over there dealing with a country that's not a threat to us. Imagine
and
a country that is a threat to us.
Exactly. That's the point. Like maybe North Korea and maybe like Iran, okay, you know, especially with nuclear weapons involved,
mm-hmm.
you know, that leaves us short around the world, without a doubt.
Or God forbid, you know, an alien race from a different planet. You know, you need to really mobilize quickly for that kind of a thing. I watch Independence Day. I know these things. But yeah, it's you know, I don't know much about the military. I don't pretend to. But this just seems like a really dumbheaded move.
I mean, would anybody in their right mind volunteer, knowing that that's what they're going to end up going to, one or the other?
I can't imagine volunteering. I can't imagine being a contractor over there. I mean, you know, this whole beheading business is really kind of not appealing.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, it's...
So, this thing with the election in Florida, this uh-huh. is pretty scary, because I really think that this is going to occur in some of the other battleground states as well. I think you're going to see a lot of obfuscating and, you know, just a lot of, I don't know, we can't tell, who,
yeah.
I don't know, we got to count. And it's all designed, of course, to, you know, keep them in office. I really believe that's... They're that evil. I mean, they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Underhand that evil, if they would do something like that, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you know, someone I know came up with a pretty good suggestion a couple of weeks ago, saying that if it comes down to something that close, it's pretty obvious that either side can figure out a way to get ahead simply by counting certain votes in a certain way.
Right.
And in a situation like that, it really should just be declared a dead heat and you should do it again, you know, until you come up with a clear majority one way or another. But, like, you know, in 2000, it's obvious that depending on who you talk to or how you count the ballots, one candidate or another could have won based on the system we have now.
Right.
So neither side really would have been satisfied with the results if they went against them. We need a situation where people can count and say, yeah, this side got a majority, this side did not.
It really is embarrassing and disgraceful that in this country, the world's, you know, superpower,
mm-hmm.
that we would end up, I mean, everyone around the world looks and must laugh and say, my God, look at this election process. You're right. It's third world country election process.
That's on a good day when they laugh. Most of the time, though, they're cursing at us for the things that we're doing around the planet. And that's something that I think is a lot worse fallout from all this.
I don't think it's really the American people they hate.
It's no.
Frustration, and they want the American people to wake up. And I think they also realize that we're being blinded by a lot, you know. Our TV blinds us from a lot. It's a veritable wasteland TV.
It's amazing when I go to other countries how warmly you're received, because I think people realize that the government doesn't necessarily represent the people.
Right.
I think if I went there as a government agent or something, my reception would be a little bit different.
Yeah, you're right, exactly.
But, you know, that's the thing. We have the power to change this. We have the power to speak out, and I think the rest of the world is just waiting for us to exercise that power.
Right, exactly.
All right. Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay.
And I think that's going to be all we have time for. But this rather disturbing news that came out today. Machete-wielding supporters of ousted President Jean-Bertrand Aristide are turning their wrath on Haiti's demoralized police force, beheading some of their victims in a campaign that imitates the insurgency in Iraq. Well, guess what? It's becoming a fad now. Yes, beheading has spread to the Western Hemisphere as well. And the insurgents in Iraq have shown the way. Oh my God! And you know, the other thing that amazes me is how the media does this. Listen to the media, and you'll hear them say this: anti-Iraq forces. Those are the people that are shooting at the American soldiers. But those are the people in Iraq. Those are the people supposedly trying to kick the Americans out. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
All right. I understand what you're saying about the whole Bush thing, but is Kerry the guy?
I don't know. You know, I don't. Who is the guy? You know, all I know is Bush is not the guy. and no matter who, if you get Bush out of office, you're sending a very strong message saying we don't support these kinds of things. We don't support wars in countries that weren't threats. We don't support administrations that lie to us. You know, we don't support people who basically try to pull the wool over our eyes. If Kerry does anything remotely like that, you better believe people are going to be demonstrating about that as well and kicking him out.
But the problem is you got another 4 years to go then, you know.
That's true. That's true. But, you know, imagine the message that reelecting Bush would send. It would basically say, you know, I did the right thing. I'm going to do more of it.
The only problem is, you know, you got the two parties and that's that. I wish more people would support independents or something.
Oh, I'd love it if people supported independent. But the way our system is set up, you know, independent votes don't count for anything. You know, in another country, Ralph Nader would have something like 4 or 5% of the Congress because of the votes he got last time. He'd have some kind of influence in the way things go. Instead, he gets zilch. He gets nothing. And the same for all the other third-party candidates. We need a system that somehow takes those votes into account and they actually translate into representation.
Right. That's a good point.
All right. We're out of time. Thanks so much for your call.
All right, buddy. Take care.
All right. And we'll be back again next week talking about two debates, I guess, because there'll be the debate tonight, which starts at 9 o'clock. And there'll be another debate on Friday with Kerry and Bush. And boy, that's going to be fun. And yeah, there's a couple baseball games too. But this time next week, I'll bet the Red Sox will have been successful. And maybe the Yankees will be. Who knows? Any event, we live in interesting times. Don't ignore them. Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. See you next week.
And the sign said, long-haired, freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. So I jumped on the fence and I yelled at the house, "Hey, what gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out or to keep Mother Nature in? If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner."
Sign, sign, everywhere a sign,
blocking out the scenery,
breaking my mind.
Do this, don't do that, can't you read?
Membership card to get inside.
Around the plate at the end of it all, I didn't have a penny to
Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.